Bye. We'll see you next week. Well, I can't do that. Not for sale. I'm going to tell you something else that's not for sale. America's not for sale. Somewhere along the way, now call me old school, but I'm old school. I'm 46 now. It's okay. I've done crossed the hill there. I understand that. 46 or 47, I don't even remember how old I am now. Which is it, girls? Nobody knows either. I am old school, and that's okay. But I happen to be also very patriotic. I've just got that red, white, and blue in my blood. I don't exalt that American flag above Jesus. I don't worship America. I worship Christ and Christ alone. But I also know this. This land, and here's the deal. Here's what's happened, see. We've let liberal historians come in and rewrite the history of America. We've let these politicians that are money hungry, they need to fire the whole crowd and send every one of them. We've let them, amen. We've let them influence higher education and let these revisionists come in and rewrite history, telling us that America wasn't founded on the principle found in God's Word. Well, listen to me. How come then most crimes that are in the books, they're crimes that violate commandments found in the Word of God? How come that is? How come that years and years ago, before we started letting the liberals tear them down, the Ten Commandments was found posted on every courthouse lawn or in the courthouse behind the judge's bench, sitting in the courtroom? Friends, listen to me. We've let these liberals come in and they've tried to rewrite America history. They've tried to bring in this liberal thinking. Somewhere along the way, the enemy said, I'm going to creep in and I'm going to claim America. I'm going to make the right, the strong, the conservative lay down and be quiet. I'll bring in the liberal loudmouths and I'll give them posters and signs and we'll let them march up and down town, pro-abortion, pro-gay rights and all of this kind of stuff. And we're going to just change the face of America. And friend, that is exactly what has happened. America is not the land she was 30 years ago, not even 20 years ago. But I want you to understand something. I believe as long as God is on His throne, and I believe as long as you and I will fall on our face and beseech and beg a living and a holy God to lay His hands on this land once again, I believe the days that America once used to be, can be, and will be again in this land in which we live. Well, I don't understand a lot of what's happening in America. I don't understand how, and I'm not saying, listen, here's what I am saying. I don't understand how you can come from somewhere else and we have to bow to you and reverence your custom and your culture. I don't understand that. I don't understand how, listen, when I come to your house, you know what I do? I reverence your house and your rules. When I come to your house, if I see shoes by the door because you take your shoes off when you come in, then I'll probably take my shoes off too. Some people do that. If that's what you do, that's fine. I don't care. But I'm going to honor your house rules. If you eat a salad before your meal, then I'll eat that salad before my meal. If you eat a salad at the end of the meal, I'll wait till the meal's over with and I'll eat my salad. I'll do what you do because I've come to your house. I don't expect you to mind my house rules or my house customs, but I'll do whatever you do. And in America, we've got this liberal thinking and theology that says that we've got to bend and break our own convictions and break our own roots and our own customs to bow at every wind of doctrine and every culture that comes in. In fact, we'll just give America over to the world and let the world have its way with America. I got news. America is not for sale. God bless this land. God give us this land. So let me tell you what's happening. And I'll close real quick. Let me tell you what's happening. So Naboth says this. And I want our young people to listen here because there's several other things that we could think of. But Naboth says this. He says, here's what I'll do for you. I'll give you a better vineyard somewhere else. Naboth already had a great vineyard because Mama and Papa had worked in it. They had bought it. They took out the stones. They had took out the rocks. They had hard it. They had plowed it. They had planted in it. They had pruned. They had nurtured. They'd taken care of it and passed it to the next generation, and that generation passed it on down till it come to Naboth. He had a working vineyard that was blessed of God. And Ahab says, I'll give you a better vineyard. But we know that's a raw deal right there. In fact, young people, listen to me, that's a tactic of the enemy. Watch what he does. He's going to offer you something that he says is better. The friends you want to have, they're better than the ones mom and daddy says you need to be around. The places you want to go, it's better than what mom and daddy thinks it is. Mom and daddy should let you go. The music you're listening to, it's better than the godly music mom and daddy plays on the radio. That new church, it's better than that old church style. That's what the enemy does. He makes us think that there's something better on down the road, something better outside the line, something better outside our convictions, something better outside the Word of God. That's what he did in the garden with Eve. And young people, what he's going to do with you, he's going to make you think there's something better. There's something better. Go on to that party. There's something better than what you're doing with the youth group. Try a cigarette. It's better than what you've been. Try some weed. It's a little better. A friend of mine who fell into the depths of addictions, he told me that he started becoming a meth addict and pill addict by smoking marijuana. Well, he said actually by starting with cigarettes, but then marijuana. And he said it wasn't doing it for him. He said he had to have something better, and then he had to have something better, and then he had to have something better. And that's what the enemy's going to do to you. He's going to offer you something better. And here's what he does too. So Ahab says, trade me your vineyard, and I'm going to plant a garden of herbs. Any British in here will say herbs for you. Any hubs? So he said, I'm going to take your vineyard, I'm going to tear it down, and I'm going to plant a garden of herbs. Now listen to me. Here's what you got to understand. Out of that vineyard comes something of value and something that is filling. Herbs, maybe for you vegetarians, is just not filling for me. I've never come home and said, oh, honey, I pray that you have a big steak of parsley for me on the grill. In the wintertime, I've never run to the stove, lifted up the pot, hoping to see a big pot of clove soup. No. No, I want something filling. Give me some of those new potatoes out of the garden. Give me some fresh cucumbers, tomatoes, some fried squash. Not fried squash that's been sliced, battered, and just all thrown in the pan and mixed together, but like Sarah does it. Each piece individually fried, flipped over. You know what I'm talking about? Some of you guys spoiled like that too. I tell you this, it works better if you don't slice that squash up long way like that. If you'll just slice that thing like a big piece of bread or something. Then you got them squash patties to fry out. Give me a big cat head biscuit that I push those cornfield beans up on that fork with. Them cornfield beans been cooked, a big piece of fat back in it. None of that fake junk. I'm talking about the good stuff. I'm talking about where you can roll it around and get that meat that's fell off that fat bag and eat that. Then give me some honey that I can finish that cat head biscuit up with. Don't keep your parsley in your clothes. It's got its place, but it's not filling. It's going to leave you empty. And so what Ahab said was, if you'll sell me your vineyard, I'll plant a garden of herbs there. I'm going to grow something that'll fill you up. And it won't. Listen to me, young folks. Even mom and daddy, the devil's going to promise you to give you stuff that's going to leave you satisfied. It's going to leave you happy. It's going to leave you fulfilled. It's going to leave you complete. It's going to make you feel totally whole as a person. That's what the enemy does. That's what the devil does. But you need to understand the only thing that will ever totally satisfy you and complete you is a relationship with Jesus Christ. Walking with Him daily, living for Him in everything you do. So there's Ahab who's trying to get Naboth to sell out. And Naboth, he drew a line in the sand. And he said, I've got some things that are not for sale. And this is one of those things. Abigail, come to the piano. I want to speak for whatever reason. This was not where I was going, but I'm here now. I really want to speak to our young people, our teenagers, just for a moment. Here's the thing. I know I'm 46 or 47. I know I may look old, smell old, dress old. But honest to goodness, in my mind, it's like 18 was yesterday. It really is. Mistakes? Yeah, man, I got them. Regrets? I've got them. And if they happen to be a teenager in this church, and I don't know, only God does. And young people, you know. Teenager, you know. See, mom and daddy, I don't know, maybe you think they're a drill sergeant. Maybe you think they got so many rules. They're mean, they're harsh. When all it is really is mom and daddy loves you. And they're trying to keep you in the road. They're trying to keep you between the lines so you don't ruin yourself. You understand that, don't you? That at 18, at 14, at 15, at 16, 17, those teenagers, you understand that in one night, you can mess everything up for the rest of your life. In one night. One wrong friendship. And it can mess you up for the rest of your days. And so if there's a young person in here that is, maybe you already know that you're with some people you shouldn't be around. Maybe you already know that you're doing some things you shouldn't be doing. Maybe you already know, and young people, listen to me, I don't have time for this, but I'm going to say this, and you have to believe me, music will influence you throughout your life. It will influence you. So if you're listening to garbage and junk, it'll take you down the wrong road. When I was 17, I had this band I followed. I'm not even going to tell you who the band was because I'm afraid you'd go home and YouTube it. And you'd never come back to this church if you ever knew I listened to something like this. But I had their poster hanging on the wall. The lead singer for that group had his ear pierced, and from that piercing had a chain that swung around and went to a piercing on his nose. And so you can kind of figure out what kind of group that was. What kind of influence that was. And their music fueled my rebellion. Their music fueled my lifestyle. Music will lead you, and it'll lead you down a wrong road. I want you to understand something. It's not about rules, young people. I'm not standing here saying, do this, don't do that, do this, and don't do that. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just telling you, you've got a mom and daddy God's given you. Don't rebel against them, because here's the thing. God placed them in your life and put you in their home, and they are a representative of God's authority over your life. And so when you rebel against them, when you backtalk them, when you speak against them, then you're speaking against God Himself, because they are ambassadors of the authority of God inside that home. Young people, and if I could stop you, if there's one here right now who you've crossed that line and you have sold out your beliefs that mom and dad have taught you, you've sold out your convictions that you once had in your heart, you've sold out things you said you'd never do, things you'd think you'd never try. You give away your morals. You give away your purity. If there's any young person in here that has crossed that line, then I want you to understand that there is a God in heaven that if you will acknowledge before Him that I've crossed the line and I don't want to go any farther and I want to come home and I want to be what you want me to be, then that God will forgive you, love you, have mercy on you, and still have a plan for your life. That's the God we serve. And maybe you've never done any of that, but I just want you to know the enemy's going to try to get you to cross that line. He's going to try to get you to compromise and sell out. And so that what you are today will not be what you will be in 20 years. What the enemy wants you to do is he wants you to compromise, he wants you to sell out, he wants you to give away that which has been instilled in you from generations before you, the faith, the Word of God, a relationship with Jesus. The enemy will get you to sell that out. And then he's going to take your life and he's going to wreck it. And he's going to leave you broken, wounded, and grieving for the rest of your days. The enemy's desire is not to bless you. He may promise you fulfillment and fullness. He may promise you a better deal. But there are no deals with the devil. Only wrecked lives. Only train wrecks. Messes. That none of us can fix. I'd rather see you come to this altar today and fix it.